I was Googling a certain bit of information. I was looking for polls that had been taken of the all-time best-looking man or woman. Now, that's very subjective. And as I was looking at those, I was very disappointed that my name did not make the list. No, I'm kidding. But you know, that is something that is very subjective. But I'm sure that most people here have found yourself looking in the mirror and being a little bit disappointed at what was looking back at you. Now, you say, why is that? Well, sometimes it's because there's wrinkles. Sometimes there's gray hairs. Sometimes there's no hair, Tim. Sometimes there's too much of me in the mirror. Sometimes there's too little of me in the mirror. I've never had that problem, but some may have that problem. We look at the mirror, we see big noses. We see crooked noses. We see age spots. We see acne. We see pimples. We see bags under eyes, and on and on and on and on. So some of you, I'm going to talk about a topic that should excite us today. We've been talking about the Lord is coming back soon to get His children in the rapture. The Lord is coming back soon to get His children in the rapture. And this is part three. And what we're going to talk about today, so what kind of body are we going to get at the rapture? What kind of body are we going to get at the rapture? Can y'all smile again? Some of you looking really... This is good news, okay? If you're not happy with the body that you have, we're getting a new one, okay? So I'm going to tell you about that today. We're going to review just a moment because there's been a couple Sunday gaps in the sermon series. The Lord is coming back soon to get His children in the rapture. Part number one, so what should we be doing? We looked at Mark chapter 13, verses 32 to 37. I'm not going to repeat the message, but I am going to give you some highlights there. We looked at point number one, we do not know when the rapture will be. We do not know when the rapture will be, but we do know that it's imminent. That means it could happen at any time. And we do know that it's God's next scheduled event prophetically. So it could happen before the message is over. Secondly, we looked at in part one, therefore we should take heed. We should be paying attention. And that attention should not only be, okay, I'm paying attention, Lord, I'm looking up at the sky all day. No, it ought to involve us getting busy for the Lord and looked at, therefore we should also watch. We should be alert. It seems to me that a lot of Christians have kind of nodded off a little bit. We need to be serious about serving the Lord. Then we looked at number four, therefore we should pray. You know, we should be asking God for last minute instructions. Lord, what do you want me to do? Fifthly, therefore we should work. Everyone has an assignment. Do you realize that everybody here as a child of God has an assignment? Number six, Jesus will come suddenly. Part number one we looked at in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. He's going to come lickety-split, if you will, in a skinny minute, if you like that expression. And lastly, sleeping on Jesus is unacceptable from part one. It says in verse 36 of Mark chapter 13, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Sleeping. You might think of a countdown, and we could actually be in the countdown right now. 3, 2, 1. Is that the trumpet that I hear? Part number one, so what should we be doing? We talked about. Part number two, that we've already had. I'm not going to again preach it, but I'm going to mention a few things. So what will the rapture look and sound like? What will the rapture of the church look and sound like? Now, the word rapture is not in the Bible, but it means, it's from a Latin word, rapturo, which means to be caught up. So it's a good thing we have that word so we can clearly communicate what's going to happen. The clearest description of the rapture we looked at in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And point point number one of part number two of this sermon series, two things a Christian will not experience when another Christian dies physically, or we should not experience. Ignorance. Paul says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." Why is that? Because they're with the Lord. And we should not experience sorrow either, because at least sorrow like the world has, because we have hope. Secondly, in this part, so what will the rapture look and sound like? Two facts that we can trust. Do you believe that we can trust Jesus' death and resurrection? If you do, say amen. I want to make sure you're awake. You're very, very laid back today. So, two facts. Do you believe that Jesus really died and resurrected back to life?
Amen.
And since you can count upon that, you can also count upon, as we looked at in that passage, Jesus' rapture of the church. Then we looked at two groups of people that will be involved in the rapture, those living Christians and those that have already died as Christians. Fourthly, we looked at one Savior. Who's coming back to get us? It's Jesus in the clouds. Then we talked about three sounds that we'll hear. What will that be? There will be a shout. There'll be the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And then the order of events, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up with the Lord in the clouds. And thankfully, that will be forever. And it says in that very passage of Scripture, therefore comfort one another, wherefore comfort one another with these words. So, you know, the Lord's coming back. The Lord is coming back. Let me give you just a little synopsis. Some of you may be like, I don't get it. You see, those that die, their soul and spirit goes to be with Jesus. If they're a Christian, they go to be with Jesus. So there's not a holding period in the grave. There's not an in-between place. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's Scripture. And since when we as Christians leave this world, our soul and spirit, now this old body, this physical body, we lay down. It's put in a tomb. It's just there. It's just this old tent or tabernacle. We lay it down. But the soul and spirit goes to be with Jesus. But at some point, and it can happen at any time, this rapture of the church, Jesus is going to come back in the clouds, all right, with the soul and spirit of those that have gone on before. So there is consciousness once you die. You just say goodbye to this world, hello Jesus. But with the soul and spirit of those that have gone on, Jesus is coming back in the clouds. And then it says there's going to be what? Shout, voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. The graves are going to burst open, all right? And I know there's a lot of questions I cannot answer. Like, what about this one that got blown up? What about this one that died years and years ago? What about this one that's in the that was in the ocean? All these questions. But in some way, they're going to get a brand new body as the graves burst open. And their brand new body that we're going to talk about today is going to join their soul and spirit with Jesus in the cloud. So they're back complete again, okay? They got soul, spirit, and they got a body. But I'm voting for this. I want to be here when this happens, all right? And so when Jesus come back in the cloud, and after this, these new bodies join the soul and spirit of those who have gone on before, guess what's going to happen to us? We're going to start to go off the ground. We're going to start to go up. And as we go up, we're going to get our brand new body too. See, we still got our old body and the soul and spirit, right? So as we go up, something's going to happen to the old body. We're going to get our brand new body, meet Jesus in the clouds. And it says, so and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Can someone, you get a gold star, can someone tell me what happens on earth after the church, after the Christians go home in the rapture? The tribulation period, the 7-year tribulation period. And that's where God's wrath is poured upon the earth. Nobody wants to go through that. You say, preacher, do you believe that people will be saved? I'll say quite clearly, a lot of preachers say nobody, if they've heard the gospel before the rapture, can be saved after the rapture. A lot of preachers will say that. I can't find enough evidence to really support that. But I do know, according to Scripture, that those who are saved in the tribulation period will most likely be martyred because they didn't take the mark of the beast on their head or on their hand, and they will be martyred. Can I tell you, you better trust Jesus right now. In this age of grace where you can just say, I trust Jesus, mean it from your heart, forgive me of my sins, be my Savior, and you can nail down your eternity, and when the rapture happens, you're out of here with us. That's where I want to be. You know, some people say, do you think churches will still go on after the rapture? Yeah, some churches will go on strong as ever.
Whoa.
Did you just say that, preacher? Yeah, I did. Because some churches are not preaching and teaching the gospel. And if they're not preaching and teaching the gospel, how can people be saved in those churches? Now, sometimes people, in spite of what the churches say, are saved in churches that are false. But a lot of churches will keep going. And this is going to blow your brain. Are you ready for this? Say the rapture happens on Saturday. Come Sunday, there'll be some people showing up at Oak Mound. Now, I'm not trying to be a drama king about it, but I think anybody would be naive to assume that everyone that comes to a certain church, regardless of what kind of church it is, every single person is truly born again. I don't believe that. And I believe some will be left behind. And I'd encourage you, in this sermon series, the Lord is coming back soon to get his church in the rapture. I hope that the light bulb comes on. I hope that the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. And if you're not sure you're saved, that you nail it down. If you say, I know I'm not saved, that you'll say, boy, I'm going to be saved today. But the point that we're talking about today, this is good news. This is our brand new body. I don't know about you, but this body is getting a little bit old. Now, I know we got some that's a lot older. And AJ back here is thinking, what in the world are you talking about? My body, I can run. Tell him what you texted me yesterday when I asked how things went. And then you said about your race. See, memory's a bad thing to lose, AJ. Yep, that's what I was talking about. Bless your heart, AJ. I can say I've never run 13 and said, let's go 22. But God makes us all different. And probably AJ's thinking, this is old stuff. You know, I don't see old. I don't worry. You talk about old. I can still run. But when you get a few years on, you start to feel it, right? And I figured out I'm not so sore anymore after I do something. I'm just kind of stiff. You know, getting up, you feel like a zombie or something. You're going like, oh, man, I'm kind of stiff and a bit. But I'm excited about our new body. I am excited about the new body that we're going to get at the rapture. We're going to look at that. The passage today is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to read several verses because I want to get the context of what's being said. And I want you to, I'm going to hit some of these points pretty quick. And then I'm going to dwell on our new bodies in particular. So beginning at verse 35, it says, now Paul is writing this to the church, the local church at Corinth, okay, which was by no means the best church in Scripture. It's probably the most dysfunctional church mentioned in Scripture, probably. But he's writing to them right off in verse 35. It says, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? A couple good questions, don't you think? Paul writes, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened or made alive except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bear grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Now we see here, first of all, two very good questions. How are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? You know, I was told as a kid, I asked a lot of questions. About drove my mom crazy because I asked a bunch of questions. But you know, questions are good. Do you all agree with that? Finally, they realized in my family that I asked questions because I was curious, and that was a good thing. That's the way I learned. So two good questions here. Secondly, he makes a truth about dying in verses 36 to 38. We're going to continue on here in a moment. But kind of makes the point, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened or made alive except it die. So, you know, you put a seed in the ground. Unless that seed dies, it will not grow and bear fruit. And the idea is, even spiritually applied, Jesus said in John 12, 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So spiritually speaking, here's a principle too. You know, it's talking, I believe, physically primarily right here, but spiritually, if we die to ourselves and live to Christ, that's when we bear much fruit. So two very good questions, point number one. Point number two, a truth about dying. Now let's read on, verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. Point number three, there's a bunch of different kinds of bodies, all right? There's a bunch of different kinds of body. It mentions the flesh of men, flesh of beasts, basically the flesh of fish, and the flesh of birds. And it talks about celestial bodies, the sun, moon, and stars, and terrestrial bodies or earthly bodies that are on things of this earth. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was hunting and I killed a turkey, what would you do? You'd first, what, pluck the feathers. Isn't that what you'd do? Or at least somewhere near the beginning. If you kill a deer, what would you do? You'd be dealing with hair and you'd skin it, right? Gut it, skin it. If you catch a fish, you're dealing with scales. The simple point is there's a lot of different kind of bodies in the world, right? Just give me a little. It's not exactly a huge spiritual point that I want you to take home with you, but it is true, right? Two very good questions. How are the dead raised up? With what body will we come? A truth about dying. Something has to die before it bears fruit and comes back to life. Third, there's a bunch of different kinds of body. Now let's read on. Verse 42. It says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now, who's the last Adam? That's Christ, okay? He's been likened to the last Adam. So you got the first Adam, a living soul, Jesus, a quickening spirit. It says, howbeit that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Verse 50, almost finished. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. But I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now this is a description of the rapture. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. We're going to stop right there. We're talking about today the Lord is coming back soon to get his children in the rapture. We've already mentioned two very good questions. How are the dead raised and with what body will they come? We looked at a truth about dying. Something has to die and be placed in the ground in order to truly be alive again and bear fruit. And then we looked at there's a bunch of different kinds of bodies. Now here's point number four. Last point of the message. You ready for this? How is our new body described? Now I know this is a lot of passage. Sometimes we preachers, there's so much in there, it's hard to condense it in a sermon, okay? But here's what we're going to look at in particular. How is our new body described? First of all, it's described as incorruptible. Incorruptible. That's mentioned several times. Verse 42 says, it is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. Verse 50, it says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Verse 52, it says, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. Verse 54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption. You say, what does it mean, preacher? What kind of body am I going to have? Do you know that this body can be corrupted as I have it right now? It can be corrupted. It can be influenced to sin. It can have disease. It can have any number of things. So this body is not perfect, right? But someday, when we get our new body, when the rapture occurs, first of all, this is wonderful news. Our new body is not even capable of being corrupted. I mean, think about it. What if we got to heaven and our bodies have our new bodies and they could be corrupt? What if we all got smallpox? What if we all got the measles? What if we all got COVID? It's like, oh, we're all going to RSV, flu A, flu B, all this stuff that goes around. Wiped out heaven. What a bummer. I'm thankful that one way the Bible describes the new body that I'm going to have is incorruptible. It's not even capable of being corrupted with sin or with the things of this world like disease. If you think that's pretty good news, say amen.
Amen.
The second description of our body, it's called a glorious body. Look at verse 43. When it talks about going into the ground and back out of the ground, notice what it says. It is what? Sown in dishonor, verse 43. It is raised in what? Glory. So not only is our new body going to be incorruptible, it's going to be a glorious body. A glorious body. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Our bodies will be something to behold. Full of glory. Full of glory. Now, is it because of who we are and how great we are? No. It's all because of the glory of God, right? And it's all because of this kind of body. I mean, it's not, we're not going to look at it and say, well, look there's someone that needs to lose a few pounds. There's someone that really needs to put on a few pounds. There's someone, look how gray they are. I mean, these bodies are going to be like, wow! Because of who God is. So our bodies are not only going to be incorruptible, not even capable of being corrupted with sin or disease or anything like that. Our body is going to be and I really think that when we get those bodies, again, I'm voting to be part of the rapture. I'd just as soon do that as die, wouldn't you? Now, if God's got other plans, I'm perfectly fine with that. But as I've said many times, I want you to remember that. If you come to my visitation or you come to my funeral and you see my body in there, don't you dare say, well, there's Steve, look at him. I'm not there. I'm gone. I'm out of here. I'm in the presence of the Lord because I trusted Jesus as my Savior. But as we go up and get our new body, and as those that have gone on before us, as the graves burst open, and somehow, beyond my description, they get that brand new body with their soul and spirit, I think we're going to be looking and saying, wow! Isn't that something? Going to be incorruptible. It's going to be glorious. What else? It describes it as powerful. Powerful. Now, I don't think that we're going to have all power. I don't believe that's true because only God has all power. But notice what it says. It does say it is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. I think the point is, as opposed to being weak, this new body is always going to be powerful, not weak. I mean, can you remember, guys, when you were young? And it's like, man, you felt like you could do about anything. You feel like you could whoop anybody that needed whooping. You could arm wrestle anybody that needs to be arm wrestled. You could outrun anybody that needs to be outrun. Remember those days? Say, preacher, that's too far back. But we have those. Our bodies that we're getting, though, are going to be powerful bodies. You know, we're not going to be taking naps in heaven. Think about that. Why would you take a nap? We got powerful bodies. We got bodies that are perfect. So we don't need to be taking naps because we're tired. I don't know about you. I kind of look forward to naps every once in a while, don't you? But we don't need them because we'll not only be incorruptible in our bodies, we'll also be glorious in our body, and we'll be powerful as opposed to weak in our bodies. The next description, it says in verse 44, really through 49, but it says, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So you say, what's the difference? You know, our body is going to be a spiritual body. Now, I don't think that means that it's not material in a sense because it's going to be real, okay? So what does it mean by a spiritual body? It likens or contrasts it, that is, to a natural body. A natural body is temporal, it's imperfect, and it's weak. So when it says it's raised a spiritual body, I believe it's saying that it's eternal, it's perfect, and guess what? It is powerful. So basically, it's not going to have the same. I would almost say that it's spiritual in the sense we're not going to have to worry about straying from God. Do you know what I mean? Because we're going to be, as a spiritual body, it's going to be tuned in with the Lord. And you know, we're not going to be tempted. The old devil's done. The sin nature is done, right? The world's philosophies are done. So basically, we are spiritual in the sense that we are exclusively the property of the Lord's. And we're going to serve him forever. Now, that's good news. You say, what kind of body are we going to have, preacher? I can't promise you're going to be like a glamour model. I can't promise you men that you're going to be like a bodybuilder, but I can promise you, according to Scripture, that your new body is going to be incorruptible, not capable of being corrupted with death, sin, disease. It's going to be a glorious body, something to behold, full of glory. It's going to be a powerful body as opposed to being a weak body like we have today. It's going to be a spiritual body that's going to be eternal and perfect and powerful and seeking after God. And lastly today, and this is really, really, really good news. What if we had all of the qualities of this body, but then it ended? Or we got old? You know, a lot of people, you know, there's been a lot of movies and stories about finding the fountain of youth. or doing something, finding the Holy Grail and drinking from it, and it'll give you youth and vitality. You know, normally what happens in these plots, you know, they're false plots. The only thing that gives you eternal life, they'll live forever, is by trusting Jesus as your Savior. So you can look for the fountain of youth. You can look for some special remedy. You can watch these crazy commercials. And if you watch enough commercials, it's kind of like, man, I ought to try that. I'll look young again. No, you won't. You will for a little bit. Right? I am thankful that my body is an immortal body. That's huge. Huge. Again, if it was such a great body here at the rapture that we get, but yet there's going to be a point. You know, the fountain of youth is going to wear off, or whatever is going to wear off, and I'm going to start to get old again, look in the mirror, and go, that's the way I looked on earth. No, it's not going to be that way. Why is that? Because we are immortal. We will live forever someplace. Seriously. We're going to live forever with a body that lives forever, with our soul and spirit joined together, either in heaven with the Lord or in hell forever in punishment. That's the truth of the Bible. But I'm thankful it mentions immortal body. Several places in verse 54, it says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. That's good. It goes on to say, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Wow. You know, since our bodies are going to be immortal, sin has no more effect on us. Death has no effect on us even now. Because it says, death is swallowed up in victory. I'm thankful that I don't face death, but I'm victorious. Why do we sing victory in Jesus? It says, because death is swallowed up in victory. And it goes on and says, oh, death, where is thy sting? Where's your sting, death? You know, where it says, oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death, excuse me, is sin. So, We all sin, right? And sin will lead to death and separation from God, right? But God has made a way. So it has no more effect on us. Sin has no more effect. It will not lead to death and separation from God. And it says the strength of sin is the law. It's the law that points us and lets us know when we fall short of what God has. Points out our sins, if you will. But aren't you thankful that this body that we're going to get is an immortal body? I mean, it'd be a real bummer if heaven lasted forever, but my body didn't. You know, we'd be up there on canes and crutches and walkers and all that, and say, well, it wasn't an immortal body. I'm thankful, according to Scripture, it's an immortal body that is everlasting, that is eternal, that will never, ever die. Today, our main point has been, how is our new body described in this passage? It's an incorruptible body. It's not capable of being corrupted. Our new body that we'll get at the rapture, it cannot be corrupted by death or with sin or disease or any of those things. Secondly, our new body is going to be a glorious body, something to behold, full of glory. We're going to say, boy, look at my new body. Glorious. It's going to be a powerful body as opposed to weak. So many times today we get weak. We mow yards. We weed eat. We do all the things of life. We dig ditches. We buff the floor, right, Jerry? And we get done and we're like, man, I'm tired. We're going to have a powerful body, one that does not get tired. We're going to have a spiritual body, an eternal, perfect, and powerful body that seeks after the Lord. And we're going to have an immortal body, one that never, ever dies, but is eternal or everlasting. I'm thankful for that. How about you? Are you looking forward to your incorruptible, glorious, powerful, spiritual, and immortal body? In this life, we may or probably will not be considered the best looking. But guess what? Just wait. Just wait. This body that we're going to get is going to be amazing. I might say it's going to be out of this world. What do you think? So if you're here today and you're saved, you say, I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. I can tell you when it was. And you should know when it was. If you don't even remember the exact date or the exact time, but you kind of remember, like, you, I was 10, I remember at church I did this and that. I mean, some people get really a little extreme on that. You have to know the exact minute, and you got to know the exact day, and you got to know the... I really don't know the exact day that I was saved, but I know it was in June. I know I was 11 years old, and I know the situation. The preacher was preaching, and I knew I needed to be saved, and I come forward, and God said, I remember that. So you need to know when you were saved. Really, you do. Again, not exact time so you can check a box, but you need to know. It's a big decision. And if it's a decision of your heart and mind and everything that you are, you ought to have some recollection of when that was. And if you're here today and you say, yeah, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that I'm saved. You know, it'd probably be a good idea as a result of this message just to thank God. Thank God that you got a wonderful new body to look forward to. But if you're here today and you are saved, I'd also ask you the question, are you rapture ready? Are you rapture ready? Now, primarily, the message has been great news. You know, hey, we're getting a brand new body. But as the tribulation period is going on here, you know the first thing that most theologians think will be happening to the Christian after the rapture? You know what? The judgment seat of Christ. Not where we're judged whether we're saved or not, but we're judged according to our service. So, just think about this for a moment. If you're here today and you know, you say, well, I know I'm saved, but, you know, I've kind of been in neutral. I've kind of been in coasting mode, or I'm doing my own thing over here. God's paying attention to that. And if we hear a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and we start getting off the ground, and we get a brand new body, and we meet Jesus in the cloud, that'll be grand and glorious with this brand new body. But then we're going to stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to give an account. And I think, well, Jesus, I just didn't have time. I just don't think that's going to hold water. Jesus, I was just too busy to come back to church on Sunday night. There's no way that's going to hold any water with Jesus. You say, well, I really wanted to read my Bible, but, you know, really, no excuse is going to work. So I ask you the question, are you rapture ready? Because it could happen at any time. Anytime. If you're not, I'd encourage you to come here to the altar as a child of God and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me. If you're in neutral, say, Lord, forgive me for being in neutral. I want to be in drive. I want to be putting a pedal to the metal for you. If you're here today and you're lost, as I alluded to earlier, you'll get a new body also. You'll get an eternal body also. But you know what you're going to do with that body? You are going to eternally die in a place called hell that's reserved for the devil. It was actually created for the devil and his demons. But if you go through this life, and as long as you have breath, you do not decide to trust Jesus as your Savior, you will eternally die in a place separated from God called hell. And it's just as long as heaven is, hell is also. It lasts forever and ever and ever and ever. So I'd encourage you, if you're here today and you have any doubts, I'd encourage you to settle it. Come up and talk to me. I'd love to talk to you, pray with you, whatever I got to do. Or if you're here today and say, you know what, I know I'm not saved. World are you waiting on? Accept Jesus. Trust Jesus as your Savior in this age of grace, what we call the church age, where it really is simple. I mean, it's serious. You got to mean it from your heart. But it's simple. Don't wait and be thrust. For you, if the rapture, the shout, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God should sound and the church goes home, you're going to be left behind. And you're going to go through the tribulation period. And yeah, you might be able to be saved. I wouldn't take that chance. And if you are saved, you're going to be martyred. Why not just simply do it today? So you go up with the church. You go up with the Christians, with the Lord at the rapture. If that's you, I'm going to be somewhere down front. You come up to me and say, "Preacher, I want to be saved." You might say, "Preacher, I want to know I'm going up in the rapture." If you would bow your head and close your eyes. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I'm not going to ask you to indicate in any way for the first question at least, but are you here as a Christian and God is speaking to your heart? First of all, you're grateful that that's the kind of body we're going to have, but there's some things that you just need to get prioritized in your life. And I agree with you. Life's tough. Life is busy. But there's some things you need to get right with the Lord today. Would you do that? Would you come to the altar today and talk to the Lord? You don't have to talk to the preacher. Just talk to the Lord about it. And say, "Lord, help me to put you the priority that you should be, because a rapture could happen at any moment. I'm going to give an account. And I don't want to be embarrassed as I stand before you for what I didn't do." Secondly, if you're here today and you say, "You know what, preacher? Either I know I'm not saved, or I'm not sure whether I'm saved or not." If that's you today, would you raise your hand up real high and say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. I'm not going to point you out, but if you're here today and you say, "You know what, I'm not sure I'm saved, or I know I'm not saved." Either one of those two. Would you raise your hand up real high? I'll pray for you. You know, the first part of being saved is recognizing that you're lost. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you for the clarity of your word, Lord, and the type of bodies that we're going to have, and we're grateful. But Lord, the rapture could happen at any moment. May we be aware of that. May we be conscious of that every day. And Lord, may we do our best for you. Lord, speak to hearts. Again, if there's a Christian here today that wants to come to the altar and just say, "Lord, just help me to serve you better. Lord, help me to get this right or that right, or help me to get this in my life or this out of my life," or whatever the need may be, Lord, I pray that you'll give them the boldness to step out. And if there's anyone here today that's lost, I pray that they'll come forward. Get my attention, Lord, and they'll be saved today if their heart is ready to do that. Lord, they can trust Jesus as their Savior. Lord, we just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray.